Good morning.
Morning.
Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I'd like to start off with any just general announcements. Go ahead, Sherry.
The barbecue is this next Saturday. We're going to have a bake sale, so I am asking everyone to please get in their kitchen and shake and bake and bring something in the gym. Barbecue from 3 to 8. You can bring your baked items in, and the tables will be set up as you come in the gym.
Okay. Any other general announcements? If no other general announcements?
It's a prayer concern and announcement. Our middle schoolers are out of town. They're coming back from Atlanta today, and so that's information. They went to a conference for middle schoolers, and they need prayer as they travel.
Yes, ma'am.
Two things. Yesterday, the Street Festival at Old School Buttercup Festival was lovely, and I spent way longer there than I thought I would. It was just very nice. Particularly thank Ted and his family and Olivia and Haley, who followed him on stage, because the Word of God was being sung and spoken and put out there in the air in a community festival, and I thought that was very special, very nice. And then also today, we'll have choir practice. It's not in the bulletin, but choir practice at 5:30. If you ever thought you wanted to be in the choir, now's your chance.
And then session we'll make tonight at
6.
See your chairperson about committees. Christian Ed will meet at 5:00. Outreach is at 5. Are there any others? Where you want me to say it aloud? Harold?
I just walked in. I didn't know if anybody announced about the retirees lunch on Wednesday.
Not yet. Go ahead.
Wednesday, retirees. For anybody that would like to go along, go ahead. We'll be going to the Lions over in Murfreesboro. Meet here between 11:30. We'll be out of here at 11:30 Wednesday.
Okay, 11:30 Wednesday, Ryan's in Murfreesboro. Any other general announcements before we move on to the prayer list? Okay, any prayer or praise concerns? Terry?
I have a couple. Is on medical leave for an illness, I don't know what kind, but his name is George Ortega. Y'all could remember him. He may or may not get to come back to work. keep those in mind.
Mike?
I try not to be too long-winded, but you know, when you thank people sometimes and you start mentioning names, you inadvertently leave someone out. So I'd just like to say again, thank you to everyone who's been so good to me, but I want to mention some names. Steve Alamore, his son Ron Alamore, John Rippey, my brother Butch, his son Dustin, Andrew Dornan, and brother Larry. They all came and built me a wheelchair ramp. And I want to share this with you. My brother and I agree on a lot of things, and we have lots of likenesses, but he thinks on a little different realm sometimes. And he was talking about brother Larry one day, and he said, you know, he said, he's not like a regular preacher. He's a real cool dude. So you need to know that your preacher, our pastor,
is irregular.
One of the caregivers of our soul is a cool dude.
I
want that to go to your head.
Yeah. It's more irregular. If I'm not regular, I'm irregular, I guess. So, yeah. Anyhow.
And I do thank God for my brother for getting me out and taking me on drives and using my tractor and trying to help me out on the farm. But I thank God most of all for my partner in life, my wife, Tommy Jo, for all the things that she's done for me through this thing and will do for me. And pray for her that I don't drag her down in any way, either physically or mentally or spiritually. Yeah, Mary Beth knows. But I just wanted to share that with you. So just remember that your pastor is the cool dude. And remember that person that you're one with is the partner of your life. They love you more than anybody on this earth other than Jesus Christ himself. I would ask you to pray for one person this morning. My brother's little granddaughter, her name is Kate Goolsby. And I think I've told you about her before, but she was born a little too soon. Her mommy works at the hospital in Myrtle Beach, and she just happened to be at the right place at the right time when Kate was born.
Can we do it? You have to worship just a little bit faster, or is it supposed to be that slow?
If she hadn't been there, Kate wouldn't be here right now. Of course, but what I'm telling you, boys, Kate's going through about three different types of therapy.
Okay.
And they need your prayer. I believe that she will be okay. She doesn't have any brain damage, but she's slow about speech and some motor skills and some other things. And they do have therapy. They've recognized all this. And I could go into great detail if I want, but another story I'll make tell you some other time. But pray for that little girl. She's a cute little tow-headed girl, sweet as she can be. And she just, they all need your prayer that she will grow into a wonderful little girl with all the skills that God would have her to have. Kate Goolsby, thank you.
Are there any others? John, Megan? Anya's sick, so we need to pray for Anya. Anyone else?
Jeremy had a near miss this
well,
week.
I wanted to say something about crash, but I didn't
okay.
know.
He's okay. Also, a friend of mine, a real serious matter, Joe Vickers, preacher at Goodlettsville for 35 years, and he passed away yesterday. They found him dead, and he had heart surgery 2 or 3 years ago or 2 years ago to lift up the Goodlettsville congregation. Though he'd been retired 6 or 8 years, but still, he was very close to it. So, and all the preachers in this area, especially in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, the Goodlettsville community, Joe Vickers.
Are there any others?
Bethany, is Bethany where you can see her? I can't tell. She has a couple of friends. We'll just say two of Bethany's friends, since I can't remember the name. But one is, in particular, is a little girl who wants to be a Christian, and her parents don't want it to be. So just pray that Bethany will be able to to say just the right things to her. We've had some talks about it, but and you know, because it's a hard thing to go so tell your parents too bad. You know, that's not really the right approach. But I'm sorry I can't remember her name. But just put two of Bethany's friends. One of them, her dad is in the military, and she's just scared. And the other is, like I said, she wants to become a Christian. And so we should just pray that in her heart she'll be able to do that anyway.
Okay. If there are no others, let's pause for a moment and prepare our minds for worship. If you will stand for our call to worship. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Of the world, step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made His heart adore You. Hope of a life spent with You. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly You came to the earth You created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Altogether
Lord God, lovely, worthy, wonderful, and still we have not described you. Lord God, we know you to be beyond our abilities to describe. We cannot contain you in words, even throughout the whole world, the words. But we can come and use those words that we do know, like worthy and wonderful and lovely and generous and kind and just and patient. Lord, we come to worship you in truth and in spirit. We come with thanksgiving. We come to express ourselves in appreciation for your great love to us. So, O God, use these moments together for your honor and glory. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Carol, did you have a prayer request?
Yes, thank you for knowing. My son Chris is leaving this evening to go to Texas for a job building windmills.
A job building windmills,
yeah.
That sounds interesting. Be sure, as always, try to put a card in with the proper name so we can get it correct in the offering. It's time now to show our faith by repeating the Apostles' Creed in unison. Find it on page 716 or on the board behind me.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He
ascended into heaven. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be,
our call to confession this morning is from Proverbs. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Our prayer of confession is in unison, if you would like to follow along.
We confess that we far too often want proof for everything, O Lord. We want proof that someone loves us. We want proof that we can trust in others. We want proof that everything in life is going to turn out all right. It is easy for us to point our finger at Thomas, who was honest about his fears. He had seen so much healing and hope, but those hopes seemed dashed when Jesus died. Even the news of the resurrection did not completely lift the darkness from his life. Jesus said to him, just as he says to us, "Peace, be still. Do not doubt, but believe." Lord, forgive our unbelief. Forgive the many times when we think and act in ways that are hurtful and mean. Heal our wounds. Bind up our spirits in the cords of your compassion. Help us to fully place our trust in you with our whole hearts and minds and spirits and souls. For we ask this in your blessed name.
Words of assurance. Peace, be still. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus came to bring you new life. Believe in him. Receive the blessing of hope and peace. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to 210.
I hear a Savior say, "Thy strength in need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
The offertory sentence today comes from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. If the ushers will please come forward. I need six. All creatures here below, praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy
Miss Julie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Miss Julie's doing double duty.
Nobody told me that. So, we have children's time with Miss Julie, and then children's church with Miss Jennifer.
Always remember that. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His memory is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is endured through my dad's generation, it's enduring through mine, it will endure through Jennifer's, and hundreds of more generations. The Lord is with you.
As the scripture is about to be read, I ask that you would take your insert from your bulletin and notice in the scripture, there are four lessons, I believe. Also, you might look to Psalm 100, the call to worship, and notice the different ways that we can worship, the different ways that we're called on through God's Word to worship God. And also the reasons given in these four passages. These are just a few, but these four passages why we should worship as we're instructed to do. Thank you.
The first scripture will be from Acts, the second from Ephesians, the third from Hebrews, and the fourth one from Psalm. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, praise Him for His acts of power, praise Him for His surpassing greatness, praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise Him with the harp and lyre, praise Him with tambourine and dancing, praise Him with the strings and flute, praise Him with the clash of cymbals, praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Miss Deborah, Miss Julie, Savannah, Melanie, and Ted and Ed. I believe that was all of the praise group. Apologies. Apologies for a phone going off, and I was here. It was in the song, and I said, oh, it's not loud enough for anybody to hear but me. And then I realized that phone was right next to the microphone on my... So, you know, and I'm the one that wish everybody could leave their phone somewhere else, but my forgetfulness is getting better. It's improved greatly. That is, my forgetfulness has. Worship. We're here to worship. Here I am to worship. What'd you come? Did you come to be fed today? Well, I hope you came first to worship. Worship God. Give of yourselves. Some people say, well, I went to church and didn't get anything out of it. That's all right. If we're biblical in our worship, we don't have to get anything out of it. We come to give. We've already gotten more than we need. More than enough. We've already received more than we know what to do with, or more than we're doing anything with. We're here to give to God. You didn't know that, did you? Yes, but we kind of put it aside and say, well, let's go see what we can get. And if we don't get what we expected, we're a little put out, or we say, well, I got about all I need. I'm half full, so I'll stay at home today, especially the Sunday after Easter. That's what we are today. Low Sunday. See? Low Sunday. Called Low Sunday in the church. But Christ's resurrection, that did not end the story. He walked on the earth for a number of days, 40. And he was busy in the days that followed his resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ the Lord is risen. He's alive. Know that. And we'll be in the season of Easter for like 42 more days, I believe it is. You said 7 or 8 from 49. And then we find Pentecost Sunday, where the ascended Jesus sent his spirit back in a manner that it had never been known upon the earth, or never been recorded. And it was a great shouting time. Acts chapter 2 was a record of it, or is a record of it. Christian worship. Worshiping as Christians. Those who are trusting in the Christ. Jesus for their salvation, those who are serving Him. Here we are to worship, and I trust that we have worshiped, partially at least, at this point in this time together. I would say this hour. There is nothing that the church does that is more important than worshiping God. God who is Father, God who is Son, God who is Holy Spirit. We don't do anything more important than that, or that is the most important thing that we do as a church. And it's maybe the thing, the experience that we have in church most often. What about preaching? Well, that's a part of worship, but worshiping God is more important than preaching God's Word for the Christian. What about feeding the hungry? That's important. But we need to worship God first. That's number one in the church. Every church that I know anything about has a sanctuary, or some call it an auditorium. And they come into the, we call it sanctuary, so I'll call it sanctuary. We come into the sanctuary to be away from the world, to be with God. And some people say, well, I like to go to church with my friends. That's good. If you're bringing your friends to worship, or if you're coming with them to worship, fellowship is important for the church. Eating together is important for the church. It's part of the church experience, the Christian fellowship. But worship tops them all. We'll talk about service next week. The church in mission. The outreach of the church next week. But today, let's center in. That is, if we make it to next week. You know, Jesus could decide to come back before then. Noah. You know, early in the Old Testament, we find people worshiping. God came and walked with Adam and Eve. And then somewhere along the way, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know if they were praising Him or asking for things. They just called on His name. And that's about what we have at that point. But in Genesis chapter 8, Noah worshiped the Lord. Or at least Noah. It's chapter 8, verse 20. He built an altar. Why do you build an altar? To look at? No. You build an altar for God. A place where we meet God. So Noah built an altar, Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 12, we find Abraham. Abraham is called by God to leave the place he is and go somewhere else. Abraham was called and set apart to be the father of God's special people. And God was going to bless Abraham and his descendants like nobody else in the world. And Abraham and his descendants, or his descendants, were to be a blessing to the rest of the world as they shared God and told them about God and God's mighty acts, as they made them aware of God and His care for His people and His demands of His people. And people were coming to, were supposed to hear the story told by Abraham and his descendants, and they were supposed to come to God as they understood the blessings of God and trust in God. But Abraham, on the way, in chapter 12, he wasn't called to verse 1 of chapter 12, and in verse 8, he builds an altar. Okay, in verse 13, I believe it is, he builds an altar. And then in chapter 13, he builds an altar. And then in chapter 14, verse 18 and following, another experience of worship. The book of Exodus, second book in the Bible, Moses. Now, between Abraham and Moses was hundreds of years, at least 400 plus, but maybe more than that. from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Three generations there. And then Jacob and his family went to Egypt because they were starving to death. There was no food. They heard that there was food down in Egypt, so they went. Joseph had gotten there first. And you have to go back and read that story back in Genesis. People were there. They'd been slaves for hundreds of years, centuries. And the taskmasters became so result-oriented. And they said, get with it, folks. God called Moses, said, these people have been in slavery long enough. You go and lead them out. Moses, well, that's another story. You read the first three chapters to learn where Moses was and why he was there. But then he calls Moses to go and lead these people out of the bondage of Egypt into the land that God had sent Abraham to 400 years before. Boy, this gets all tangled up, doesn't it? Well, it's a pretty straight line there. But Moses goes and he asked Pharaoh, because God told him to. God said to him, go and ask Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, if you can take some people off for 3 days of worship. And he goes and asks, and Pharaoh said, no, you lazy bums. Basically what he said. He said, you don't need to go worship. He said, you need to make more bricks. And for asking, we're going to quit providing straw for you. You have to go out and gather your own straw and then make equal number of bricks. So go to work, you lazy scoundrels. I don't know this God that you're going to worship. Oh, he wouldn't let them go and worship. But this word plagues in there. If you don't worship, you have plagues, God told Moses. And the plagues came upon the Egyptians. 10 of them. Finally, with the last plague, Pharaoh said, go, get out of here. Just go. Don't even come back. Go. Go away. Go. And so they went. Chapter 4. Chapter 5. Mention of the Israelites wanting to go to worship. John, move to the New Testament. We're New Testament people, are we not? New Testament. Jesus met the woman at the well. Sychar? Is that the place? And she talked about her people and their worship of their false god and true worship. And he mentioned worshiping in truth and in spirit. There will be a day coming where we worship in truth and in spirit. Worship. There is nothing that the church does that is more important than worshiping God, who is Father, who is Son, who is Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you like to worship? Some people like to sing the old songs and that's it, in the singing part of worship. Some people like to go and have three songs, one prayer, and a sermon. And that's all they want in worship. Anything else is those additions. Some people like to come and get through all these preliminaries. Preliminaries. I've heard that so many times in my early ministry, especially in the rural church. But that's not only in the rural church. That's where most of us start. They want to get through these preliminaries and get on to the reason why we're there for the sermon, so they can receive something, so they can take a nap. One, and people even took naps in Paul's day for during the sermon. Fell out of the window too. Maybe we'll get to that. Maybe you won't go to sleep. But they like to talk about get through those preliminaries and get on with the sermon. That's what even elders, leaders of the church, would say if you didn't have so many preliminaries. Well, friends, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but every aspect that's in this church bulletin, from the call to worship to hearing God call us, and we try to have a scripture word from God that calls us to worship Him each Sunday. I've worked on that for 40 plus years, to be careful for that. And then we come and express our faith. We believe in You, God. We're here to worship You because we know what You have done through the years. We use the creed. And then we realize ourselves to be sinful. Anyhow, many ways to worship. Some of you were here Wednesday night. Who was here Wednesday night? One or two. You see those, that dancing? Those people in South America? And they were just going, men and women too. That don't only happen in Columbia, South America. That happened in Columbus, Mississippi, when I was a youngster. We was driving around one night, saw this tent, my stepfather, I think, and his brother, and myself. We said, I don't know if they knew I was training to be a preacher or what. I said, let's go by, and maybe they wanted to show me something. Went by this tent meeting, and it was a service where they got real vocal and real exuberant, I guess you could say, in worship, and there was one person I noticed that was really jumping up and down. I thought she was doing some kind of a dance. And I think that was a church that preached against dancing. But she had formed her holy dance. And I think that is good. I didn't understand it then as much as I do now. Recently, 4 or 5 years ago, I was trying to use Sunday evenings to visit other churches for my spiritual growth. I found it was difficult to find a church in the Franklin, Murfreesboro, Smyrna area that had a Sunday night service. I showed up at one service at 5:30, 5:25 once, and they canceled at 5:30. I drove down the road to them. I mean, they didn't cancel. They finished the service. Well, they didn't have a note out on their sign or anything. Went to another church the same night, ran in on a children's program, and I loved them, but I had gone to hear some preaching. I had gone for my spiritual nourishment, I guess, but I was going to get something, and because I felt I needed something. But anyhow, ended up at one church one Sunday night, and the middle schoolers, and one woman, probably middle-aged, she had on high heels, and I was afraid she was going to turn an ankle and hurt herself there, but they were up and down, just like this. And that was their expression before God. And it was very real. I was scared for her, but maybe they had practiced enough or done it enough that she didn't worry about turning over a high heel. Isaiah 6. Whether you knew it or not, I think I've said it, but you may not have remembered it. We try to follow Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, every Sunday morning. Isaiah went into the temple and saw the Lord high and lifted up. Friends, let me back up. Worship is more than preaching. Worship is giving. Worship is confessing. Worship is affirming our faith or stating our faith. Worship is even responding to the call to worship. Worship is singing, etc. It's called a worship service. Now, I read even this week that former professor of mine so many years ago, he's in one of his books, he said that we call it a worship service. And worship, what we're doing right here, right now, is serving God. And when you stand up and sing, you're serving God. And when you offer your offering, or when you help receive the offering, and some people call it collect the offering, that sounds like a bill collector, that collect the offering, receive it, when you're the usher, you are serving God in that way. When you read the scripture, read God's word, you're hearing it, but you're also serving Him. That's one reason we call it a worship service. Christian worship is an affirmation of God's presence with us. And if God is not present with us, something is badly wrong. We just as well as to fold our tents and go home. Worship, when God's people assemble in His name, He has promised to be with them. So I believe He's in our presence right now. And worship, we affirm His living presence. Not a dead body, but His living presence. And we celebrate His presence, but also His mighty acts. What He has done for us. So just think some of the things that God has done, some of God's mighty acts that we can celebrate when we come together to worship. Creation. Can't get behind that any further back than that, can you? Creation. We celebrate that God has created the universe and all therein, that God created us, took our ancestors, actually took some dust, and made our ancestors. He created. He took nothing before there was dust and made something out of that void, out of that nothingness. So we celebrate God's creation. Can you come into the sanctuary and say, oh, God has created us? And then you can celebrate the Exodus. No greater story, as far as I'm thinking, in the Old Testament. And it's what the Israelites celebrated. Even Jesus was celebrating when he instituted the Lord's Supper. So the Old Testament, the Exodus, the Passover, the freeing of the Israelites from bondage of Egypt. And God allowed these slaves who had been there for 400 plus years, he allowed them to come out of that land and go to the land that he had given to Abraham 400 years before. It took them 40 years because of their stubbornness, etc. People haven't changed, have they? Am I saying that we're stubborn? Yeah, we are. I'm saying it. Don't be mad at me. You may not be, but your neighbor is. Okay. Or maybe your preacher is. Just blame it all on me. We're stubborn. But they took them 400 years to go about a two or three week journey. But they had trouble. But God got the people to that promised land. And then the virgin birth. And some people still argue, oh, that couldn't have happened. Well, if God can take a little handful of dust or a big pile of dust and create a person out of it, he can impregnate a virgin and cause her to give birth to a child. Virgin birth. I come to celebrate the virgin birth, the resurrection. Jesus died, was buried, he descended into Hades, and he rose again. God raised him up on the third day. And people say, oh, that couldn't have happened. He wasn't really dead. And make all kinds of excuses. Well, if God can create, he can raise the dead to new life. I don't have any trouble believing it. I feel sorry for those who don't. Not mad at them, feel sorry for them. And then salvation. That God would care enough for us to save us from sin. That he would send Jesus to the cross. He is only begotten Son. We're all creation of God, so we're all kind of sons of God. But his only begotten Son, he is called in the Gospel of John. And he let his only begotten Son go to the cross to pay the penalty for not his sin, our sin. Jesus wasn't guilty, we are. He was tempted to sin, he said no. We were tempted to sin, we said let us at it, buddy. We want to be at it. So we jumped right in and did our sinning. And God said, oh, those poor people that I created, they can't save themselves. Somebody's got to pay for their sin. And death is the only way. I'm going to send Jesus to pay for their sin. And he did it. Salvation. And this, our faith in him. And read the book of Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And see what Paul says. Through Adam, we're all guilty. But through Jesus Christ, we're all given opportunity to be saved simply by our faith. Our trust in Jesus and his work. Psalm 29 talks about the work of Jesus, the mighty acts. Let us ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So if no other reason for worshiping God is because he is holy. Holy, set apart, different, without sin. Holy. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. And he says, shout aloud. Don't whisper. Shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands form the dry land. That's the psalmist in Psalm 95 about creation. And then, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, the psalmist says. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. We can go on to Psalm 96. Declare his glory among the nations, the glory of the Lord. Splendor and majesty are before him. And then New Testament. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, when Satan came to tempt him. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 also. He said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Satan was trying to get Jesus to serve him rather than God. And Jesus said, no. Worship. Worship claims us and we respond. God is the one that claims us and we respond. He claims us through Jesus Christ. How do we respond? We respond in faith. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. Then Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Or the King James Version says, serve the Lord with gladness. He says, know that the Lord is God and He has made us and we are His. All because God is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And He has called on us to offer praise. He's called us to come to Him in faith. And then in Ephesians, Paul was writing to the church there, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we speak to one another. We're not alone here. It's not just me and Jesus got a good thing going. It's me and Jesus. We need to share with other people who know Jesus. Because Jesus is not ours alone. Jesus belongs to us and them too. Don't get drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Christians worship. And in their worship, they hear the gospel proclaimed, or somebody proclaims the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, it was Peter. Later, it was Timothy. Stephen. Later, it was Stephen. Then it was Timothy. Back in the Old Testament, it was the prophets, Isaiah. Part of the proclamation came from Jeremiah. And he even acted out some things for him, for the people, that they might know. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus. The Old Testament even proclaimed the good news of the Jesus who was to come, and we proclaim the good news of the Jesus who has come and who shall come again. Part of worship is celebrating the sacraments. Sometimes I wish that we celebrated or observed the Lord's Supper more often than we do. I grew up once a quarter. Then I got to a church every 2 months. And then finally, we got a church that observes the Lord's Supper every month and was willing to. And I'm not sure that it would not be right to observe the Lord's Supper every time we meet or on the first day of the week. Worship includes reading the Scriptures and hearing the Scriptures. I like Acts chapter 20, and that's where Paul was preaching. And he preached on later and later, and this young man went to sleep. And he fell three floors, but he was sitting in a window. There's some lessons here for preachers. Don't preach too long, you put the people to sleep. Another lesson is to young men in church, don't go to sleep while preaching is going on. Or another lesson might be, don't sit in the window while a preacher is going on, especially on the third floor. But he fell and he died, or they thought he was dead, and Paul goes down and picks him up, and he's alive. I don't know if Paul brings him back to life. Don't know the details there. But preaching, worship includes preaching. Worship includes praying. Worship includes singing. I have noticed that a lot of people don't sing in church. I don't sing very well. I have to be away from other people, not too close to them when I sing, or I get them off. Every once in a while I can get on key with them. But I'll get a songbook and I will hold it like I'm singing. And if I can't utter any vocal sound, I can at least read the words and whisper the words to Jesus. So if you don't sing very well, you can do that. Well, I've been wanting to get that one in a long time. Worship is committing life and resources to God. Worship should be public and private. I like the story Jesus says, go into your closet and pray. And then somebody says, well, Jesus says don't pray so much in public. Go into your closet and pray. Don't do it with good sounding words all the time, or words that you think sound good. But he also tells us, and with so many examples of praying in public, as well as praying privately. Let's offer glory to God. Glory to God as we sing 66, the first and the second stanza. Will you stand with me? We have a leader? Julie. There she is. Okay.
God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. He yielded allegiance and mercy, and given the wide gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things to every believer, the purchase of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that love from Jesus our heart receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Lord God,